I want to jump backwards, like a verse, to where we left off last week, I believe, which was the end of chapter 15 of the book of Joshua. And I think most of you, yeah, I'm pretty sure all of you have been around going through this book, so I don't have to recap everything. you know the gist, Joshua and the people of Israel coming into the promised land and going through the region and just wiping it out. But it was by the strength of God that they did that. And what we read last week, besides all of the however hundreds of names, no, I don't think there's hundreds, but there's a lot of names that we read last week, and we fumbled through those names. But it was hard to read all of that. But again, the reminder there is that they're all pictures of areas, things in our lives that God conquers or can conquer, if we're willing to let him do that. That was kind of the idea. But the last verse we read in verse 63, as for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem to this day. This is a huge problem because, excuse me, faux pas with the guitar. The problem here is that they're not able to drive them out. This is a problem because we know that it's God who has been doing the driving out. From beginning of the day that they stepped their foot in the promised land, God's the one who's been fighting the battles for them. And now, all of a sudden, this is the first time we hear of a weakness with the children of Israel after the point that they came into the promised land, where they're not able to take a land. Why? That's what we talked about last week a little bit. And I've been thinking about it, and hopefully you have too. But there's a weakness that we can experience in our lives too when we start to trust in ourselves, in our own strength, in our own ability to overcome enemies in our own lives. Whether it's sinful things that we're trying to defeat, whether it's a situation that we find ourselves in aside from our own desires, like something that we just have to go through because it's just life. Whatever it is, we can find ourselves being defeated. And what we find here is compromise, and it's not good compromise. Because what happens is they come to this land that they can't fully conquer. And so they just say, okay, we'll just live with these people then. That's bad, by the way. Because we know about these people, not necessarily the Jebusites, although we know that they were a bad people. But everyone in this land is sinful. They're ungodly. They're against God. And that's why God has been this entire time wiping them out one at a time, because they're completely evil and set in their ways. And so the children of Israel said, well, I guess we can't win. We're like at a standstill. What's the chess term? When stalemate, we're at a stalemate. And we can't, nobody's winning, so let's just move in together. It's like, okay, that's a good idea. It's not. It's a terrible idea. And we know that the Old Testament law is clear about not mixing themselves with other people, specifically the world. And that's exactly what the Jebusites are. So here we have the children of Israel unable to conquer the land that God wants them to conquer. Why? Probably for that very reason. They have, for whatever reason, started to believe that they're awesome, maybe. Started to, after seeing all of this victory, thinking, man, I'm great. We are so strong. Our army is unbelievable. And because of that, God then was no longer needed in their eyes. So they would go into this battle with the Jebusites thinking, all right, let's do this. We'll just do what we normally do, wipe it out. Everyone will talk about how awesome we are, and then we'll move on to the next place. Maybe that, but definitely the idea is that they're leaving God out. Whatever it looked like, whatever they were thinking, they're doing it on their own somehow, for some reason. God forbid that we ever get there. God forbid that we ever, it's awesome to see victory in our lives, and I hope that every single one of us walking on this earth through our relationship with the Lord, hopefully we're growing, and hopefully we continue to see victory. But God forbid we ever get to that point where we think, okay, now I got this. You know, this thing, Lord, that I'm coming up to, that's way less than what I've already been through. So I got this. I'll come back to you later if I need you. But for now, I'm good. I got this covered. No, you don't. And no, I don't. And I've made that mistake in my own life because things that seem small can be the very things that we go in without any defense up at all. We don't put our dukes up. We don't put up our guard because we think, oh, I got this. I've already done this before. So it's easy. That is the very moment that Satan is going to get his foot in there. Get a place to get some traction in messing up your life and messing up my life. So I think that to learn from the Israelites in this tiny, and we don't know a lot about this story here. It's just, you know, one verse. But to take this and learn it here, as opposed to going out and learning it in our lives, is much less painful for us. And so this is something that I've been thinking about this week. And maybe it's something for you to ponder and pray about. Am I trying to do anything that I'm doing in my life currently, whether it's trying to defeat something that's evil or just going to school and doing well? Am I trying to do it on my own strength, on my own abilities, on my own power, on my own wisdom? Or am I going into it prayerfully, saying, Lord, this is what I'm up against. I know that you want me to have victory. You do it. You fight the battle. Show me what to do. Tell me how much to study. Tell me which pages I should read and which ones I could skip. You know, like that. You can really talk to the Lord on that level because he cares. He cares about the little tiny things in our lives just as much as the big ones, and he's there. This is just the longer I walk with the Lord, the more he reveals that to me and just tries to nail that into my brain. I'm here and I care. Like, we start to think that things are too small for God. Especially the longer you walk with the Lord, you just think, man, I know that the Lord cares about me, died for my sins. He gets me through these painful battles that I have with my own family and all this stuff. But he doesn't care about this test, or he doesn't care about this little struggle that I'm having. He does. He absolutely does. Father, thank you so much for the fact that you have dealt with our sin, Lord, that we don't have to worry about our sin coming back to get us, or we don't have to worry about our sin being just there in the back of your mind all the time. But we know that you literally, somehow, because you're amazing, you literally forget it. You put it out of mind, which we don't understand because we can't do that. But we know that you can. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray that as we remember the work of the cross tonight, that you would be glorified. Lord, I pray that as we just come to you, that we'd be able to meet with you in a real way. So we give you this time, Lord. We do thank you for the season that we're going into, and that it speaks of you. Help us, Lord, to, as we start out this season, just go into it with joy, knowing that you've dealt with our sin. So we give you this time, and we pray that you bless it. In Jesus' name, amen.